Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Does every city in our area need tourists, need visitors all the time? I think we've gotten carried away a little bit with this idea that we all need these visitors. Some of you just stay out of these cities. You don't need the visitors. Everybody's not a tourist destination. It's Jason. Welcome to Drive Time. There are certain cities in this community that are fun to go to on the weekend, right? Excelsior. Where do you like to go when you think of Minnesota cities where you want to go for like a day trip? 651-461-9226. Tell me your favorites. Like, I love Stillwater. Love to go to Stillwater. Excelsior, very good. Wayzata. All these cities want you to come there on a Tuesday. And I am sick of being expected to have to go to all of these cities. Some of you are for the weekend. It's all right. Isn't that enough? Turns out it's not. Some of this, I think, is a logical result of what has happened in the move away from our cities. I actually think researchers are going to study this someday. But the fact that we went from everybody coming downtown to work, not everybody, but every white collar worker coming downtown to work, the fact that we just like flipped a light switch and went to remote or hybrid work has been the most disruptive change to our state, probably. I mean, is it overdramatic to say since the interstate highway? I don't think it's that dramatic. The disruption has been intense. It's just so different now, right? And even when you come to work, if you come 3 days or you come, you know, 2 days this week, 3 days the next, whatever, people aren't sticking around. And part of the reason is that all of the cute little suburbs have their own cute little restaurants and their cute little downtowns, and you get cute all over the place. So today when the Star Tribune publishes a story, the future of the Twin Cities destination suburbs may depend on Tuesdays. Does anybody want to go to Excelsior on Tuesday? Why? Now, the challenge is if you're a restaurant or a coffee shop and it's hard to make a business where you just make your money on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? So they need, or at least, I don't know, it used to be fine. It seemed like there used to be businesses that functioned just fine. Waterfront communities popular for day trips are finding new ways to bring people downtown beyond summer weekends. So on the one hand, you have these suburbs, your Stillwaters, your Excelsiors, your Wayzatas, your Waconias, that are trying to get, they're trying to get people to come during the week. And part of the reason that I am frustrated with this is that it doesn't make sense for the wider community. There are times, look, does it make sense for Excelsior? Yes. Excelsior has like two blocks on Water Street. It's really nice. It's really cute. They have some good restaurants. And what Excelsior wants is developers to put co-working spaces so people will come and work, and then they'll, like, go to lunch. And I get it. Like, that would be good for all those restaurants. But I don't think it's good for Minnesota to have a million little hubs of work all over the place. And then across the street from us, we've got a 25-story skyscraper that's totally empty. Am I just fighting a losing battle here? Is downtown just done and we are going to build little suburban, like little downtowns everywhere, and Excelsior, which already is cute on the weekend, now thinks they get to be cute every day? Part of the deal of living in a vacation style community is that you have a nice place to live. People do want to come and visit you on the weekend. But like, can we have something still in the city? Could we keep downtown, maybe? Everybody doesn't need to be a tourist destination. And I think what White Bear Lake has been doing has been sort of intriguing. In White Bear Lake, they never really were a tourist thing because the lake isn't super accessible for regular folks. And there aren't a lot of businesses or anything on the lake. So what White Bear Lake, it just is like it's for the community. It's for the city. So if you live in White Bear Lake, you come downtown, you go to the restaurants, you shop, whatever, but that's it. Tourism is not part of the equation. They got a pharmacy, they got a dentist, they have a library. They do have a co-working space. But like, that's it. Chris is in Medina. Chris, does
hey, Jason.
Do you need me to come out there on Tuesday night too? Like every suburb wants me coming. They want us coming all of the days. I don't know. What do you blame?
Stay in Maple Grove. No, I think what's happened is this is the economy, right? And the hub cities, through poor practices, bad economics by the student council, what they've done is they've created this void in the little cities, the little beaches, all that. They see the opportunity. That's how the economy works. As long as downtown Minneapolis has a void because it's, quite frankly, it's hard for businesses. They have anti-business practices. They're not going to win that dollar. And these small cities are seeing a great opportunity to win that dollar.
It's interesting. I don't disagree with you at all. I do think right now, if you had the ability to locate your business in White Bear Lake or in Excelsior versus locating it right in the middle of downtown, I'd probably put it wherever is closer to my house. You know, as the business owner, you'd want it because there is such an anti-business attitude from the city council, specifically in Minneapolis.
Absolutely. I'd put it in Uptown Hamel, baby.
Yeah, nothing wrong with Hamel. Nothing wrong with him. Very good. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. It is opportunity. Chris is right. The suburbs are seeing the opportunity. Texter's saying, depends on the suburb, right? Woodbury is a nice place to live, but who in their right mind is visiting Woodbury on a Tuesday? Another texter says, think about it. The majority of working professionals now have two working parents and kids. There's no time to battle traffic and parking, etc. I wonder this, though. Do you guys think, so say like downtown Minneapolis probably has what, 60, back in its heyday, would have 60,000 or so people coming down here to work. You could redistribute all those jobs, right? It's just offices. There's nothing particular about where you have these offices stacked up that matters. If you took all those jobs and redistributed them all into suburbia, all around the area, isn't that a major L for the overall community? Isn't that a major loss? Like, yes, individually for you, it's maybe closer to your home or it's easier to commute to. But at a certain point, like, have we just decided we don't give a crap about anything but ourselves? We just care about our own situation. Isn't there a bigger picture? And the bigger picture to me is that you do need a strong downtown hub for the central city. Although maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. Maybe you... I mean, the only people that get hosed in this transaction are people who do live in the city, who are going to have to figure out how to pay for city stuff. How do you pay for it if you don't have any of this business? I don't know. Texter says downtown is not attractive. It's a concrete canyon. Downtown is not inviting. Skyways are great, more likable than the skywalk, except they close too early. No place anywhere to go to the bathroom. Yeah, like downtown could be more, I wish there were more plants and more greenery and more of that. But like, I don't think that's what's keeping people out of here. I don't think that's the issue. Oh, I wish there were more bathrooms. I don't think that's it. Let's break. Texter says, it's not my job to prop up downtown. I get it. But when everyone in Minnesota has decided it's not my job to do anything but to stick up for yourself, what is community? What is the point? And I understand, like, it's me first. Welcome to America. It's me first. Me. But I just think this attitude is not helpful for the overall community. It just isn't. And maybe we don't care. Maybe that's sort of where we're at. Let's break in a minute. I do want to weigh in on the president intervening, calling FIFA, asking for the American superstar's red card suspension to be reviewed. We'll talk about that. Where are you on that? 651-461-9226. Drive Time, back in a minute.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Should Donald Trump have called the head of FIFA? Should Donald Trump have called the head of FIFA and tried to get the red card heard around the world, get that suspension revoked? That question, which came in at 651-461-9226, is provocative, right? Because I have one reaction to this that is unequivocal. And that is, I'm glad that our team will be at full strength tonight. I am cheering for the United States of America. The fact that FIFA overruled their, you know, they have a committee, they have a process. The fact that they revoked the suspension, I think, is unquestionably great. And this is the player, Flo Balogun. He has been the top scorer for the United States. Now, when the president today talked about this, he sort of downplayed what he did. But The Guardian is reporting that the president made three calls to FIFA starting from Wednesday. But the president, as you know, is the recipient of the FIFA Peace Prize. And so along with that prestigious made-up award, you do get like sort of, it's like a bat phone where you can get right to the head of FIFA. I am glad that Flo Balogun is going to be on the pitch tonight. I'm glad. You don't need to be a little kind of lame ethics police. Like, I don't know if I'm going to cheer for America tonight. Get over yourself. Cheer for America. Be glad that our top scorer is going to be on the pitch. Here's the president sort of uncharacteristically downplaying what he did, yet also taking credit for it.
All I did, I asked for a review because I didn't think it was a foul. And, you know, again, I'm good at this stuff. I didn't think it was a foul. Right, I thought it was two great athletes who crashed into each other and got entangled. That was not a guy punching somebody in the face or anything.
Yeah, that's what a red card is. It's got to be a punch.
And I think it's a terrible – if they wouldn't allow you know, a top player, maybe the best,
maybe
among the best players on the team.
We don't know.
To play, I think it would have had a big stain.
Mm. Well, this is not a stain at all. This has worked out fine. Look, in sports, when you have a chance to appeal something, go for it. Appeal. It's the USA team. The president is like buddies with the FIFA dude. And again, if you were to say, hey, Jason, the initial question, should the president have done this? I would say,
hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Should the president have done this?
I mean, what am I like? I'm so happy with the result. But
I think you can both be happy with the result.
No.
Point out the flaw in the process because there isn't a formal appeal process. That's part of the bit with the World Cup.
Right.
You don't get to appeal this. And the president, of course, you know, rules are for other people, so he's going to make a phone call.
Well, he's very,
what he can do.
As you know, he's very familiar with
clearly
the rules of soccer.
Because red cards are just when you punch a guy.
I wish the president did not do this. And yes, a texter is saying, do we know how Cristiano Ronaldo got his suspension deferred? Because all of a sudden, everyone is an unbelievable expert at the entirety of the history of World Cup red card suspension deferrals. Yes, Cristiano Ronaldo did have his suspension deferred for a year, the same thing that happened to our guy today. Ronaldo's incident happened in a World Cup qualifying match, not in actual World Cup play. So that is different and yet similar, right? Where a star player did get sort of a lifeline thrown to him.
Well, and that's just, I think that's part of what, you know.
Could this have happened anyway if the president didn't call?
Could have. FIFA has the power to make that decision if they decide to review it. The question is, would they have even bothered to review it if it hadn't been for the
probably not
phone call? And that's right. Part of, you know, again, soccer, not the national sport here in the United States. And yet we all want to jump in and have our opinion on this quote unquote controversy, largely because there's a political element to it. And we can't make anything in this country not political anymore. But the truth of the matter is, as you start reading about this sort of stuff, this kind of suspension of the suspension, the reversal of a suspension, happens in soccer in various forms. It just hasn't happened in the World Cup.
Right.
And so the fact that it happened in the World Cup makes it this huge deal.
It's a big deal. Right. Yeah. Right. Now, this is the logic that I don't understand. A texter, I cannot cheer for the U.S. after Trump stuck his filthy hand in. Is this how the Knicks won as well? Go Belgium. So I would say if you, because you hate Donald Trump so much, are going to cheer for Belgium now, you should probably pack up your house and move out of America because you are ridiculous. You are ridiculous. Now, this texter is a listener of the show. I'm going to give you a dispensation. You can stay. But anybody else, like if you listen to KFA, if you're a Barrera listener and you're now cheering for Belgium, out.
Gone.
Strap you to like a Bugs Bunny style TNT.
Sure, a little rocket.
Rocket.
Yeah.
And launch it right out of the cannon and you're gone. It's not his place to do it, nor was it any of his business, says a texter. What's next? I'm afraid to ask. I'm going to make a call to Odyssey and ask them to review your decision to.
And then the text just ends.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
What decision would
what
that
decision?
Be?
Maybe review their decision to hire me. Look, having flow back on the pitch is not a guarantee that we're going to win.
No, by a long shot, it's not.
And maybe we...
But it certainly improves the chances.
Yeah, I mean, for all the people who say there's going to be an asterisk now, is there?
Nope.
Like, I don't...
People will forget about this in 10 minutes.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. In the scheme of things, do I think having a full team out there is good for America? I do. I think it's good for the team. I think it's good for the country tonight when everyone's going to be watching this match. I think it's good because
it's very probably going to set a viewership record in the country for a soccer event.
And we can look at the specifics. People want to litigate the specifics of whether it should have been a red card. It shouldn't. I will say I do not like in soccer that a red card means an automatic suspension for the next game. I think that's unique in sport. You don't really have an automatic suspension type offense for most.
For most singular offenses.
Singular offenses.
Yeah, usually it's a litany of offenses that leads to a suspension.
So I don't like this, especially since it's play-by-play. It's often like replay VAR.
Well, I think that
leads to these red cards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, red cards leading to suspension, that's been a thing for a long, long time. It's not like that just got invented for this
tournament. Still cannot like it.
You absolutely cannot like it, but it's been part of the sport.
But yes,
right?
It is.
What's changed is the VAR, is the video assisted replay, right? Because this wasn't ruled a red card in regular play. It was during the whistle, because it was called a foul. During the whistle, during that break, you know, the referee gets a little buzz in his ear from the video official that says, hey, go look at this again.
Right.
And then when you look at these types of plays in slow motion, they look horrific compared to regular speed play.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to hit a guy with a red card that you know obviously is going to lead to a suspension, to do that only because you're looking at the slow-mo replay that looks so much worse than it actually was in real time, that seems hinky to me. And so that's where there's room, I think, to look at this and say, okay, you can't change that it was a red card, but we can change the fact that this kid was going to be suspended for the next game. FIFA has the ability to do that. It's not completely unprecedented. It just hasn't happened in a World Cup before.
If Kamala Harris were the president and she called FIFA,
it would be a completely different reaction.
I'm just saying, like, people's reaction to this is so ridiculous.
Well, it's
three phone calls. Well, but it's Trump just like, maybe he sent out one fewer Truth Social post because he was calling FIFA guy and like, hey, come on, I'm the Peace Prize winner. Give me this.
It's like what happens with everything else in this country. It suddenly has to be coded politically. You can't just have a thing, because as long as he's attached to it, we have our silos that we've already put ourselves in politically. And so we have to react. Either it's the greatest thing ever because Trump's the greatest thing ever, or right, it's the worst thing ever because Trump's horrible.
I mean, it's mostly, I would say, it's good. Our guy's playing. USA, USA. This is not that difficult. Cheer for our team. We don't like cheating when other people cheat. When we cheat, it's called strategy. It's called outfoxing the competition. Dave Schwartz will weigh in on this in just a minute.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.